Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I would like to extend my formal apologies to our producer, Shannon, for aging him, but I told him multiple times. He looks good. I mean, we've seen those throwback pics, Shannon, with the all-white suit in front of the car. So you know I got you.
In front of the Model T.
Yes, he looked good. He still looked good today, okay? Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Come check us out. Stream, subscribe. Chenan Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Goodyear hotline now. Chenan Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
Chenan, all I can imagine now is taking Shannon and like putting him in different scenarios, Forrest Gump style, throughout radio history and just dubbing him into those moments. Right now.
Oh, so basically what we did with Bernie Sanders, do it with Shannon. I
guess
you.
Yes,
I
if we can you. Somehow meme Shannon on the radio, that would be great, and also look, probably way technically outside of what I'm able
to do. We should try to do that, but that picture with him in the all-white like suit with his legs crossed in front of the car for sure would totally work for all of that. Now, this hour, we will get to our hot takes. I'm so excited as we play Book It. You can book it. Like a question that's coming up, will the 2021 Colts improve their win total now that Carson Wentz is at quarterback? We'll play Book It, and we'll ask ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick pretty much the same question this hour. And of course, in a few minutes, hopefully we'll get to the thing that led our show, NASA's Perseverance rover that has landed safely on Mars after 292.2 million miles journey from Earth. But first, let's get paid, okay? Because tonight, it's game day. So excited. Brooklyn Nets taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering who's active. Well, for Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving is active. James Harden is active. And, of course, no KD, still dealing with that situation. And for Los Angeles, we know that Anthony Davis is out for an extended amount of time, likely all the way to All-Star. So, Junior, I'm going to ask you this, and I know you have some thoughts about regular season games. But still, this is the big one. Is tonight a statement game for LeBron James?
No. I don't think so.
Come on.
I don't think it is. Like, I'm sorry. If you want...
I missed that sound. I missed it.
I can't get... I wish I could give it to you right now, Janae, but this is... to me, kind of low stakes for LeBron James. It's all upside for him tonight right now because it's just him out there. Like, we understand the situation that he's walking into in this spot. And for what it's worth, I think without Kevin Durant, if you're taking out one member of that big three, the absolute juggernaut is KD. So this is a very winnable game in my mind for LeBron James and the Lakers going into this one. And matchup-wise, without Kevin Durant out there to be that size mismatch in certain spots, especially when it comes to being guarded by and going up against LeBron James, I think it's a super winnable game for them, but it's by no means the end because he's already got the championship clout that he can hold over their head. And this idea that I'm building towards something greater when we're whole again, and I've shown you I'm already capable of that, in a way this Brooklyn team still got to go out there and prove each and every night to people.
So I agree. When it comes to the big scheme of things, I think we sort of identified this with this season, a lot of change happening for so many different parts and health being so important, especially when it comes to the playoffs. And what is not important also is home court advantage, probably the same way we had the bubble. Teams like, okay, you can drop a game here or there, but I do think it's important for LeBron James because we talked about this stretch in which they're going to see the Warriors, or they're going to see Brooklyn, and they're going to see the Jazz, and these are huge opportunities for LeBron to cement his case because he's right now the leader when it comes to talking about most valuable player. And so if he's able to take down this Brooklyn team, which, mind you, Junior, I'll say this about Brooklyn, while Kevin Durant is that, what is it, the cheat code? Yeah, he's the NBA cheat code. You put him on a team, and that team has the likely odds to win a championship. Now you surround him with Kyrie and James Harden. Obviously, that tilts towards the best offense we've ever seen statistically, right? But overall, this Brooklyn Nets team still can get a win, still can get a dub. James Harden did it by himself versus Phoenix. You know, now after the defined roles with Kyrie saying, you're going to play point guard, I'm going to play shooting guard. And then what do we see? 40 points from Kyrie and a 30-point triple-double. So knowing that that potential is still there, even without KD, I feel like if LeBron takes them down without AD, Anthony Davis, this cements his case. Because when it comes to MVP, don't we start having those conversations now? And then you sort of fine-tune them in about like the last third of the, you know, the season. And I feel like we're at that point. And for LeBron James, didn't we find this in our pre-show meeting? The last time he won MVP was 8 years ago. Doesn't that sound like a travesty? Like, it's kind of crazy.
It sounds wild until you remember the way this thing tends to work. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike, because the way things tend to work is we see greatness rewarded in big slots, and then we saw it shut down. Shut down when he started doing things that people weren't necessarily a fan of. Shut down when we started getting used to him being on top. And so you're right. The middle of the season ends up becoming important because the stakes feel pretty high on this one. And don't just take my word for it. Jay Williams, our great ESPN NBA analyst and co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, talked about what this has the potential to be for LeBron James if it does start going this way now.
This would be LeBron James' greatest MVP of his career if he were to win the fifth one this year. Let me tell you why. Truncated season. Their season, they only had 71 days off after winning an NBA championship in the bubble where LeBron was playing out of his mind. Now, I know Giannis won MVP last year, but LeBron was right there last year and should have won MVP, okay, for how deep he took his team in. Now, fast forward through the pandemic, being on the road, playing, you lose your top two player, another top 10 player in the league in AD. Now, LeBron has to do it without AD. And Zubin, if they have to go through Brooklyn, if that's with KD, Kyrie and James Harden, and they win a championship, this will be his greatest MVP.
And I think what's important to note, and what goes to your point, Janae, about the importance of this game to that aspect, because again, while I might not think it's a statement game for LeBron and this team, if we're going to talk about the MVP consideration, it's a regular season award, so you got to rack up those wins now against this kind of team. And right, wrong, or indifferent, these are the games we actually put eyes on and evaluate these things. And for those of us that aren't like you who are going to watch and digest so many of these games, we got limited opportunities to create public perception around these opinions, and this is a big one. Even if it's not whole, it's got the part that matters for Los Angeles in the context of this conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I just sort of, I feel like in the context of this conversation, it makes sense. But when Jay Will's saying it's the greatest MVP, I don't think like matching up his MVPs really matter in the big scheme of things. I think it's trying to catch up to Michael Jordan. And I know we're not talking about that special word that we've been getting rid of. But like this would add to his case, which would make his case overall as a player even better. And so I focus more on the big term. That's why he wants to win. It's all about legacy. And then also rattling off. If you can become a Laker legend that goes back to back to back, or just back to back even this season, that just keeps the conversation going with the greatest basketball player as well.
Legacy is a great word to sit on there, because I think a lot of this has to do with what we're seeing across sports. We talked about Serena Williams earlier in the pursuit of things, legacy defining performances as people get up there in age. Serena's 39, unbelievably impressive. Tom Brady was 43 when he won the Super Bowl, and now we know this is factored in to the LeBron conversation. But I want to take legacy to a much more important place, because we had a big time moment. We celebrated off the top of the show. The Mars
much more
rover
important place
in a more
to space. You could have done that. Dang it.
Listen, I'm not always on top of my game, all right? The Mars rover Perseverance landed on Mars today. The folks in NASA were celebrating like they just got the number one pick in the NBA draft. And I didn't realize we had cause for celebration around here. And so to help us out with why this is a special day, we are turning to our ESPN Chiney and Golic Jr. space correspondent, Peter Agwumike, Chiney's father, who filled us in on the Agwumike family role in this monumental occasion.
Hi, Chiney. Hi, Golic Jr. My name is Peter Agwumike, your dad. Hey, I'm not sure if you've heard, but the Mars rover successfully landed today. Yes! It's exciting, and I'll tell you one thing exciting about it. It's got our name on it. My whole family's name is etched on a chip on the spacecraft. So what an exciting thing. God bless America. Hey, you guys carry on with your good show. I'll be listening. Take care, y'all. Bye.
Okay, Chiney, I need to know,
yeah,
and I need you to explain to America right now what your family name etched on the chip. What is going on in that?
Okay, first of all, can we get sounders for my dad? Bruh, 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 yeah! Oh god, it's up, my pops, with the real OG movement. So basically, what had happened was, my dad is big into space, into astrology and astronomy, and so he got our family name, maybe it was like a year ago or so. I came home, and like there were boarding passes to Mars. And I was like, we were like, what is this? And we know my dad loves space. That's his passion. And he's rubbed it off on us. And so now on the chip, on the rover, which you can get like hundreds of thousands, if not, you know, names on there, our family name was included because my dad signed us up. So The Ogwumike family is currently on Mars. Let's go.
Unbelievable. Matt Damon trending because everyone goes back to the Martian when things like this happen. Forget that. The Ogwumike name is the one that's actually up there.
Way to go, Dad.
Repping out here. The United States of Space.
Also, happy early birthday, Dad. I know you're listening. He's so excited.
Yes. Yay. Happy birthday to our official space correspondent.
Daddy-o, Papa
and
D.
Father.
Top.
Peter Ogwumike. Unbelievable. God, I'm so excited.
I know
excited.
You're jealous.
I'm very jealous right now. Janae Angola Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven, like the road to Mars, where the Ogwumikes are, which is a thing I'm going to be fascinated by all the rest of the show. But coming up next, with the first round pick, the sixth overall pick in the 2020-21 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select. We'll tell you next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Thanks, Dad, for joining us today. And also, hey, NECA. NECA's watching, too. Now, there are a few people at ESPN that are effortlessly cool. I mean, obviously, us. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. But I have to add, Louis Riddick has to be high up the list at ESPN of people that are, like, super effortlessly cool. You know, he could wear the suits without the tie, with a little bit of, like, you know, the chest hair showing.
When Louis undoes the second button, that's when Lou comes out and gets loose. Yeah,
that's Lou. There and in about 10 minutes Lou will join us to break down the Carson Wentz trade to Indianapolis. But I have to say this for the record, no, we're not talking about my dad being a zaddy. I hear you guys on social media, please leave my dad alone, please leave him alone.
Say, Janae, the streets are talking right now and they want more Peter Ogwumike. I heard people want him on Cameo just so they can hear his voice.
Oh,
I'm
guess
hearing
what?
The zaddy word get thrown around for your dad right now.
It's all right.
Early birthday present.
They can do a combined zaddy segment with yours included. Yours too. Like, that's great. That works.
God,
keep that same energy.
Zaddies of Cameo sounds like the worst possible timeline for the two of us.
Maybe Shannon's in that category. Who knows based on how things go today. Now, I want to say this before we get to play Book It. Make sure you check out ESPN Radio on social media at ESPN Radio because we have our preview with tonight's Brooklyn Nets at Lakers game front of mind. Michael Jr. and I are looking ahead to the NBA Finals between the Nets and the Lakers. Who will make the NBA Finals? The Nets? The Lakers? Neither or both? So you guys can tap into that pool. I don't know. I haven't voted yet, and I feel like I will make my official vote later on. But are you ready? Because I'm ready to play Book It, man.
I feel like you'll give me the official answer here in about 30 seconds it is time to let everybody what you're ready to book. All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
All right, Janae, you know how the game goes here. Cliff's going to read us a couple of spicy takes. If you like it, you feel good about it, you shout Book It at the end. Everyone feels like they're on First Take screaming at Max and Stephen A. And if you don't, you won't. We move on. You got it? You good? You ready?
Yeah, Book It is brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink, made with no artificial sweeteners and no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle. Your girl is ready. Let's go.
What do we got,
Cliff? All
right,
Janae, let's get it. The Lakers and Nets will meet in the NBA Finals. You going to book it?
I'm going to book this one. I'm actually going to do it. And I just voted it on the poll. Like, you can. I'm going to book it just because the Stars lead. I don't know who you guys made me into, but I believe the Stars lead in the NBA. I feel like LeBron James and hopefully Anthony Davis healthy later. I know they've got the Clippers out there in the West. They've got the surging Utah Jazz, but I'm still going. Steph Curry and the Warriors are making some noise, but I'm still going with the star power of the big two. You know, the dynamic duo with the Lakers. And then the Brooklyn Nets. I feel like we heard it from James Harden talking to Rachel Nichols. You can't stop our offense. And I feel like that's true. Even though Philly's looking good, I still feel like that offense and that veteran savvy will have those two, Lakers, Nets, in the NBA Finals. Please let us be able to go to those games. But how about you, Junior?
Please, God in heaven, let us be able to go for those. I'm not going to book it, though, Janae. I voted on the poll, and I went with the Lakers representing in the finals there. But I think what we talked about yesterday, Milwaukee starting to tinker, and maybe this year, when less of the heat is on them because it's all in Brooklyn, them being able to start to get get over the hump in here. Giannis, after signing that deal, maybe be able to get something. And the point being, that specter looming large, along with some of the bumps and bruises we've seen for Brooklyn, injuries keeping this big three from getting to gel all the time, maybe makes that a tougher one to come by. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio playing Book It. What do we got, Cliff?
Let's go. Shout out to our boy Himbo from Get Up. Fernando Tatis signing long-term with the Padres is bad for baseball. Junior, you're going to book that?
Yeah, so Paul Hemakides, the Greek god of stats, who's come over with us from a time to time on this show, tweeted earlier and said, Fernando Tatis playing the next 14 years in the country's number 27 media market on the West Coast is objectively a bad thing for baseball. And today, I'm not going to book this.
No, sir. No.
But what I will say is the challenge it presents is a reminder of the uphill battle baseball faces, because he is going to be out of sight, out of mind, because baseball has some of the same difficulties college football does, where it is a regional sport at its core with national elements. And we see those national elements break through for the big teams, for the Blue Bloods, for baseball, for the Yankees, the Dodgers, the teams that are going to be in those big markets, the star makers. And it's difficult to break through and transcend that. Maybe Tatis and the young stars they're starting to accumulate there can make some waves because they're going to play a different way, something that's a little more aesthetically pleasing. So I'm not going to book it, but I still think it shows the difficult lot baseball's got right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to book it either, but I know a lot of people are saying like Mike Trout and all that type of situations, the comparisons, but that's where the comparison stops, because Fernando Tatis Jr. and his antics, you know, his bravado, his swag, that's a different energy, and we're even seeing it translated to commercials, which was one of my favorite commercials. I'm not going to name the product because we have allegiances over here.
You're darn right. Cliff, what do we got next?
Today, 2021 Colts will improve their win total with Carson Wentz at the helm. You going to book that?
I'm going to book it. I don't know what is wrong with me, but 10-6 in the AFC South, I'm going to book it just because Phillip Rivers, great quarterback, one of the legacy quarterbacks, but still, I feel like if Carson Wentz is more of what we saw of him before and not just this past season, I'm hoping there's more good than bad left in the tank. Plus, you think of the AFC South with the Texans, the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Colts. Texans aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Jaguars got the number one pick, but like we don't think that that's going to translate immediately. Titans and Colts, like, you're going to have opportunity to get some winnable games, and then hopefully, you know, if you handle your business with everything else, I feel like you can improve on that record.
I am not going to book it, Chiné, for a couple
of
reasons. The difficulty here, 11-5 last year's good record. That was a playoff team. It was very close to winning a playoff game were it not for some, I'd say, less than aggressive calls in those spots. Defense was one of their hallmarks last year. Statistically, our friends at Football Outsiders and Aaron Schatz will tell us one of the harder things to hold year over year. And Carson Wentz is a higher ceiling maybe than Phillip Rivers at this point, but a lower floor, which means one thing to me, volatility, which means probably a tougher chance of stringing together consistent games. Cliff, we got time for one more quick one.
One more, Junior. This is for you. Serena was saying goodbye to the Australian Open crowd last night after her loss to Naomi Osaka, my cousin.
Not going to book that one. A lot of people thought Serena getting emotional in the press conference after Janae was going to mean or think something. I don't buy that. I think she's still someone that's motivated, like a lot of the other athletes we see getting up there in age, to try and go out and accomplish, and this could be one more turn around the sun.
Agree on everything you said, and I also am going to book the fact that I truly believe Cliff and Naomi Osaka are cousins. You can book that. Both from Haiti. Haiti. They're cousins. You heard him slip that in there. You can book that they're actually cousins, not just like kin folk and skin folk. Like they actually might be family.
You can book that and say all that. I'm going to slowly back away from the microphone. Book It is brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink, made with no artificial sweeteners and no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle. But coming up next, is there more pressure now on Carson Wentz, or is this a bet on Frank Reich and his future in Indianapolis after the move to trade Wentz from the Eagles? We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor. Body Armor Light is here to help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle and our hot take lifestyle over here. We've gotten Chiné into the hot take game.
I know. That
should
goodness.
Tell you everything you need to know. And that's because she is hydrated, we are hydrated, by Body Armor Light. No artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. It comes in delicious flavors like peach mango, tropical coconut, and strawberry lemonade. Body Armor Light, keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product, and you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Too much or too little? Did the Eagles get a good return for Carson Wentz in this trade? Back after this, Janae Angola Jr.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Philadelphia has agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Colts.
Last year with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, they had a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense.
They're legit Super Bowl contenders for this coming season.
We will continue the Carson Wentz conversation as he has now been traded to the Indianapolis Colts in about 10 minutes. Should the Eagles be in the market for a quarterback again? But right now, let's stick with Carson because it's time for the cool kids. It's Sinead and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Sinead Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Moolah. Learn more at progressive.com. And for all the breaking news when it comes to Carson Wentz and the Colts, we're hyped to be headed to the Goodyear Hotline to talk with Louis Riddick, our own ESPN NFL analyst and member of our Monday Night Football booth. Now, Louis, it's so great to talk to you again. And before we get to Wentz, we were just, you know, getting excited that you're going to join us on the show. And we're celebrating how you're probably one of the coolest people at ESPN. Every time we see you go on TV, you manage the space of knowing whether, okay, am I going to go tie or am I going to go with no tie? And sometimes you like let a few buttons go. So how do you make the decision on how cool you're going to be when you step into studio?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of one or the other, isn't it, huh? It's a little bit of a feel thing. You know, I'm kind of like a two-button-down type of guy. I like wearing my shirts comfortable like that unless I'm buttoned up tight, you know, and got the full suit on. It's really a feel thing. I have no rhythm to it. That's the only way I could really put it, though. But I'm glad people appreciate it, man. You know, I guess I'll take it. Whatever.
It is absolutely meant to be a compliment as Louis Riddick is with us. And I think that level of feel is important, having an understanding of the situation here. And so I want to lean into that feel, and I want to go maybe away from the wardrobe choice and more to your former life working in front offices in the NFL and making a decision like the one we saw. The Colts traded for Carson Wentz. And Louis, to me, it feels like a lot of this is not what they saw, but what they believe they can get out of Carson Wentz still at this point. How difficult is that in a front office to try and gauge potential and upside versus what you've seen production-wise from a player like Carson recently?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's really what you're paid to do, right? You're paid to project future performance. And when you're dealing with a situation like this in particular, Mike, I mean, this isn't necessarily about assessing Carson's physical skills. Now you're kind of jumping into the realm of the intangible here. You're talking about someone's mental space and whether or not they're going to react favorably to a new situation and thus give you the kind of physical performance that you're looking for. And that's always a crapshoot. It just is, because I mean, coaches aren't psychologists, although they play some on TV now and then. I mean, but they're not, but that's what they're trying to be. And that's really what what Indianapolis is trying to be right now, meaning Chris Ballard, the GM, who I have the utmost respect for, and Frank Reich together figuring this. It's worth the risk. It's worth the price of admission to get into this, you know, get into this party, or rather, you know, if you will, with Carson Wentz, because we think on the, you know, coming out of the other side, we're going to get something between 2017 potential MVP performance and 2019 stretch run performance like he had in Philadelphia. And if we can get that, then our upside is, provided that we stay healthy and continue to add to this football team, our upside is we're a division contender without a doubt in the South. And we're banging heads with the Buffaloes and the Kansas Cities and whoever else wants to go ahead and try and contend for that AFC conference title. And that's exactly, I mean, that's what they're after. And beyond that, look, if they really hit big on this and they really have, you know, forecasted this the right way, and that we can rehab Carson mentally, we can get him confident, we can get him playing fast, making good decisions, playing with good mechanics, and doing it consistently, then we're definitely AFC title contenders and Super Bowl contenders. Then a whole bunch of people in Indianapolis are going to be winning Coach of the Year awards and Executive of the Year awards. And they're going to be right back where they used to be back in the days of Peyton Manning. So I think that's how they're looking at it. But a lot of this is a crapshoot and really just depends on how much is Carson going to buy in, and how much is he going to be able to play with the kind of resolve that's necessary? Because really, it's on him.
Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us on Janae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. And how about on the other side of things? Because the Eagles, they will receive the 85th overall pick in this year's draft and the conditional second rounder that can become a first round pick based on Wentz's playing time and performance. We know how conditional that is. Did Philly really get enough in exchange for Carson Wentz?
Sure. I mean, they have to be realistic. I mean, the buyers just weren't out there. They just weren't. So, I mean, they can sit there and wish that they could have gotten more, or expect to have gotten more, or think that they deserved more, you know, based off of what they invested in him, both in terms of assets that they gave up to move up to draft him and what they paid him. But the reality is, we understand that, you know, Carson's performance this past year, both on the field and off the field, dictated what his price ultimately was going to command. And, or rather, what price they were going to ultimately get for him. And, I mean, I think this is the best that they were going to get. I think they knew that, and they needed to act quickly, because the more that the clock kept ticking, the more the price was going to go down that people were going to be willing to pay for him. So I think they have to be happy with it. They have to hope that Carson performs above what everyone's perceived expectations are going to be. So that conditional draft pick starts to move up, and they get maybe a return on investment that they thought that they ultimately deserved. So I think in that regard, Janae, that's really what a win-win is about as far as trades are concerned.
And so
Indianapolis, if they would be more than happy to part with a third and a first if they can get 2017-2019 Carson, and if they're playing in the AFC title game and potentially a Super Bowl. Chris Brown would be tickled to death. Philadelphia will be able to save some face minus the money they invested in, and then everybody gets to move on.
Now, Lewis, we only got about a minute left here, but for Philly moving on and going into the future, they sit there with the sixth overall pick in the draft this year. In your mind, are they in the quarterback market in the draft this year?
No question. Number one, they don't have anybody on the roster other than Jalen Hurts in a reserve future signing. That's not going to factor into the quarterback competition as it relates to Jalen Hurts. And number two, there's no way a guy who has 148 career pass attempts in his rookie season and who is barely a 55% completion percentage thrower that is still raw by all accounts, there's no way they're going to hitch their wagon to him given what the expectations are in Philadelphia. There's just no way. There's no way. So they have to look at the veteran free agent market, which I don't really think they're going to be players in, and or address it via the draft. At the sixth pick, they're sitting right at a good spot to where they could probably sit there and pick a very good player that could potentially be even better for them than Jalen is. Or they have maybe the ammunition to move up, and you know they're not scared to do that, especially when you're talking about quarterback, given Jeffrey Lurie's history. So without a doubt, I expect, you know, on night one of the draft, expect some fireworks out of Philly.
And we're looking forward to it. Lewis, we always appreciate the time. Thank you, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lewis.
No problem. Thanks.
ESPN NFL front office insider Louis Riddick with us on the Goodyear hotline in here. I feel like during our interview, he for sure had a couple of buttons down there. There's no doubt.
Oh, for sure. No question. Like, he was, you know, yeah, absolutely.
We get two button Lou around this show. But Louis said it there. The Eagles absolutely going to be involved in some fireworks coming up in April when we get to the draft. But for who? For what? We'll figure that out next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Carson Wentz has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts.
Colts badly overpaid. Badly.
The overwhelming loser in this is the Eagles. It's hard to put into words how much the Eagles lose here.
I'm excited because at the top of the hour, we will answer the question, how would you summarize Carson Wentz's tenure in Philadelphia? Now, my quick answer is probably for Philly, and more specifically for Cliff, dreams and nightmares. Maybe it's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunmakay and Mike Golic Jr. Oh, that's approved by Cliff. I'm very glad. Now, before we get to the question that Louis Riddick, our own ESPN NFL front office insider, just answered, should the Philadelphia Eagles be in the market for a quarterback? I sort of want to get to where the money resides, because according to the Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill, and I'm trying to learn this, Junior, so bear with me, all right? Not much has changed since the Eagles' odds this year, you know, after this trade was announced today. Not much has changed since the Eagles' odds were built knowing that Carson Wentz would be traded. The Colts moved a little bit on Super Bowl and also in their division, but not much for the Eagles side of things. Colts were, what, 22-1 when it comes to the Super Bowl compared to 25-1. The Eagles have remained pretty much the same. Does that surprise you, Junior?
No, it doesn't surprise me much, Janae, because I think people always, like we said, built volatility into what the Eagles were going to have this offseason. And also for the Colts, this is a team that a lot of it feels similar, and I think the gamble here, and whether we were talking to Lewis Riddick earlier or we were talking to Mike Wells from Indianapolis, our ESPN Colts reporter, the idea is that the infrastructure is going to keep Carson Wentz from imploding in this situation, that having the offensive line and the running game and the defense and the coach are all going to bring enough of the best of him out to basically make it consistent, because I feel like that's what they want, consistent with a ceiling for slightly higher than what they got last year. But I think they would take 2020 Phillip Rivers production in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so basically the odds, according to the sports book, not changed so much by Carson Wentz joining the Colts, but we know for another person, our own ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, the odds have gone through the roof. Now, according to Dan on social media, Carson Wentz is now an MVP candidate. Take a listen.
When it's right, he's a top six or seven player in the NFL. You know, I think the reality for this move when it comes to the Colts is it places them. I think there's four teams as we sit here today that are top of the AFC conference. Kansas City, obviously. Buffalo, obviously. Cleveland, and this puts Indy in that top four. Number two, I would put Carson Wentz into the MVP conversation. I believe in him and Indianapolis that much. And then three, I'd say this. This 2021 Colts team is going to look a heck of a lot like that 2017 Philadelphia Eagles team.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Michael,
did you hear
Jr.
Mina?
And Janae.
Was that Mina?
Yes, you could hear Mina in the background sighing heavily as she heard all of this. And I'm sighing heavily right now because I understand this is our job. But coming back from break, you heard two of our other colleagues on ESPN Radio. One say the Colts drastically overpaid in this. Another say the Eagles are massive losers in this. And Dan Orlovsky, God love him, who's just going to keep pushing his chips closer and closer to the middle, the absolute center of this table, saying Carson Wentz is going to be an MVP candidate this season. I love the take Olympics we have going here.
I know, right? Gotta love him. But to answer the question that we've sort of had going this show so far, when it comes to the quarterback situation for the Eagles with the number six overall pick, do they target a quarterback? I know that's exactly what they just did, and it sort of got them in hot water, but do you think that there are options out there that they should look at seriously? And I sort of tend to be on the side of Lewis Riddick, who says pretty unequivocally yes.
I absolutely agree with him in this spot, because most importantly, you're not guaranteed to be in this position again. We don't think the Eagles are going to be good next year. Maybe they could be picking near the top, but to be sitting at six in a quarterback draft that we think is four deep with some guys we trust pretty well, it would make sense, and it makes even more sense considering this league, Janae, because this is an upside-addicted league, right? Like, what we just watched what happened with Carson Wentz is the perfect testament to that. Put him and Deshaun Watson's careers side by side. Go back to college. Deshaun Watson did so much in college, accomplished so much, and had so much tape. We felt like we knew what he was, so we dropped him down to 12 in the draft, and we pitched Mitch Trubisky at second overall in that draft. We put him at 12, we picked Mitch at 2, because he was the upside play who had started for a year and we thought we could get more out. Now, fast forward in the NFL, Deshaun Watson goes out here and accomplishes so much, no one in their right mind would move on from him unless they were absolutely forced. Meanwhile, Carson Wentz still has enough of that glimmer of what we remember from 2017 in his eyes that people are willing to risk it for that upside. And so I think for that same reason, that upside addiction, with the Eagles having a longer runway right now based off this, they got to go quarterback at 6.
And the upside that we just saw this past college football season, especially when it comes to Justin Fields. So potentially, you know, I look at the mix of Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, obviously, and Mac Jones. And we know that, was it Zach Wilson projected at 2? Was it Todd McShay's
yep.
mock? So like, if we're going to remove Trevor Lawrence and potentially, you know, Zach Wilson out of there, I feel like Justin Fields could be a no-brainer in that position.
I feel like if he finds his way there. Now, I think based on the way this is, with Atlanta sitting at 4, with the Jets at 2, you've got teams that are quarterback ambiguous right now in their futures, meaning they could try and make you a little bit nervous, and I think the goal before draft night is going to be, Can we get Philadelphia to itch and pull the trigger on something? If Carolina doesn't go out and land Deshaun Watson like we're hearing them try and swing for right now, do they try and move up and make sure they get the guy in this four that they want? And those are the fireworks that Lewis Riddick is talking about when he talks about the future for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I don't think we have seen enough from Jalen Hurts, and I don't think they've invested enough in Jalen Hurts as a second-round pick to all of a sudden just turn it over to him and say, we're good. You've got time and less urgency around the franchise now. That seems to me, when you've got a new coach coming in too, the time to bring a rookie quarterback in and figure this thing out. But very little in the way of feeling figured out now. So let's head to Philadelphia and figure out how they're feeling about their newly departed quarterback next.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.